Well, I thought I might give you a little devotional here to start our time tonight from Psalm 3. Psalm 3, I'm going to read the whole psalm to you. It's 8 verses. It says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and slept, I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Well, I think that sometimes we think that David was a man for whom everything went smoothly. At all times, we've memorized some of his words, such as, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we think that, wow, David, you had such a rich experience of the Lord blessing you and helping you at every point, and we would like to have a life like his. Everything going smoothly for us all the time. But was this really true concerning David, that everything always went smoothly for him? Well, no, not exactly. And I want you to see that it most certainly was true, that David did have a rich experience of the Lord blessing him at many points, but sometimes that blessing would come to him in the midst of troubling circumstances. And so this evening I want to bring to you this thought, that you're knowing experientially God's rich blessings and his help to you can and it will come to you day by day because he is faithful. He's faithful to be a shield around you or a shield for you. It says here, he is your glory and the one who lifts your head. So first of all, I want you to see that God will shield your soul from people who trouble you. David says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. Or as it says in the margin, you're a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. Now you'll notice in the inspired heading of this psalm that David penned it when he fled from his son Absalom. You remember what happened in those circumstances, don't you? His own son, who should have loved him, actually thought that because of David's sin with Bathsheba and for other personal and selfish reasons that he could take hold of the kingdom himself and rule it better than David could. But he didn't realize just what this was going to cost him to precipitate this rebellion against his father. You know, Absalom had actually gone so far that he had, when men would come to him, he would take them by the hand and look them in the eye and say, you know, if I was ruling things in the kingdom, this is the way that I would do it. And it says by that means that he won over everybody in Israel, or at least a lot of people. He won them over to his own selfish cause. He thought, like I said, that he could do a better job than David could of being king. And this is what it means when David says, how they have increased who trouble me. And sometimes people looking at you, they think they can trouble you, and they will trouble you. And they'll take sides against you because they don't believe that God is there for you to help you. And they'll say wicked things about you, and they think that they can do wicked things to you because they believe that there's no help for you in God. And we should remember also that this trouble came upon David because he had sinned with Bathsheba, and that this was something that the Lord had said to him that would happen to him, that the sword would not depart from his house forever, that he would experience these conflicts within his own family, which he experienced quite a few of them after his sin with Bathsheba. This was one of the major ones. Well, you remember he confessed his sin to the Lord, and after he did so, he was forgiven. Nathan the prophet said, "You're forgiven, but these consequences are going to come." And it was part of that disciplinary action upon David that his own son rebelled against him. Many people looking at David rose up against him because they thought there was no help for him in God. Well, how could David then have any confidence that God would be his shield in these circumstances? Because, again, if you look at that inspired heading, it says the Psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. How could he have any confidence? Because he could have confidence because he knew the Lord. Even though he had sinned this great and terrible sin, that he still knew God. And God was going to faithfully deal with David because he was one of his true believers. He was one of his true people. And this is something that we must always remember, that in the worst of our sinful circumstances and situations, that God is still for us. He is still for me when I'm at my worst sinful point, where David was, where everything seemed to be against him. But yet in this psalm, we see that David really was quite confident in God. And we have to ask ourselves, how is it that that he could boast in God the way that he did in this psalm? Really quite extraordinary. "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head," he says. So he knew that he had no way that he could boast in himself. He had no way that he could boast in anything that he had done, although at many points in his experience and in the Psalms we see that he lived uprightly before God, and he did many good deeds, did many good things to further the kingdom and the glory of God, and he did what was right. But at this point, it was a very weak and vulnerable moment, perhaps the most guilt-ridden moment in his life. And yet, he still has confidence. And what I want you to do is turn over with me to Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. And the Apostle Paul says here, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, is found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." So you see, Paul is saying that if salvation was by your works, that God would owe it to you, that is salvation, as a debt to you. You, as a Christian, perhaps have worked hard at being spiritually minded. You work hard at keeping His commandments. But you know that in your heart that God doesn't owe you salvation or forgiveness or helping you in difficult situations at any point because of what you have done, but only because of Christ and what Christ has done. But if you see yourself that God somehow does owe you something for your obedience or working hard at keeping His commandments, you don't understand how much sin has affected you in your inmost being. You may know yourself to be a sinner, but you don't see yourself as God sees you. That is, that you're weak at many points in doing righteousness perfectly. And so you need His help and His grace. I'm just asking you tonight, have you come to the place where you can say, "But You, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head"? I'm saying sometimes even Christians have a superficial view of their own remaining corruption of their heart. Both Abraham and David will reprove us in this regard and say to us, "No, this cannot be that you can be saved by just trying to be a pretty good person, because God justifies the ungodly by faith. He justifies those who do not work," it says here, "but trust in God for what He will do for them and how He will help them." But some will say to me then, "Well, how about that? I can sin. I can even practice sin, and if I trust in God, He will save me." No, I don't want you to think that way. If you think that way, you've not understood. And if you live that way, you'll end up in hell. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 15. It says, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike, are an abomination to the Lord." So the verses that I just read to you in Romans 4 are not saying that God justifies the wicked. They're saying that God justifies the ungodly. There's really quite a difference. God justifies the person who, up until the time that they believed, they did not really know Him as He is, the holy and righteous judge of all men. The wicked person is the person who willfully and deliberately practices sin and lawlessness. They despise all of God's offers of mercy in the gospel, which would result in their salvation. The wicked man, when God calls to him in the gospel, will not repent. So God does not justify the wicked. And further, we must understand the truth that Christ did not come to call the righteous, that is, those who are self-righteous. He came to call sinners, the ungodly, to repentance, that is, that they might learn the way of the Lord. This doesn't mean that God cannot change a wicked person and make them willing to repent and trust in Him for His great salvation. God can save the vilest of sinners who believe in Him. It simply means that when God saves any person, whatever their background, He does so by sovereign, omnipotent, merciful grace. And He forgives them all of their sins and He imputes to them Christ's perfect righteousness, so that God then sees them covered with this robe of Christ's righteousness, all their sins covered in the blood of Christ, and this covering is spiritually there with them all of the days of their life following their conversion. So what I'm saying is that David's telling us here that people may trouble you if you are a true Christian. Many may rise up against you, thinking that there is no help for you in God. And this is what they actually might be saying to each other about you, that there is no help for you in God. But you know by faith that God is a shield for you. And what an amazing shield He is when it says He is your glory and the one who lifts your head. When it says that He is your glory, it means that there is everything excellent in God Himself to give you in order that He can teach you, and He will give you the wisdom that you need. He'll give you calmness of heart that you need. When people around you think there is no help for you, that's going to come to you from Him. It isn't so. It just isn't so. You are going to know help from Him. And God will prove it to you. He'll prove it to them as well in time. And so, you may be ashamed of yourself. You may be ashamed of your sins. No doubt David was at many points following his sin with Bathsheba. But God is the God who takes away our reproach. He's our glory and the one who lifts our head. That's what that word picture means, lifts up your head, lifts up my head. He's taking away our reproach. That is, that sense of shame that we feel, that sense of others wanting to charge us with what we've done, and they are ashamed of us and want to continually bring that guilt up to us. But I'm saying that God is able to take away your reproach, the dread of what people around you might say about you. They may be correct about your sin, but their conclusion about God in relation to you will not be. That's something that you need to remember. Because God is faithful through Christ to forgive you, to cleanse you, to help you, to stand in the middle of all unrighteous oppositions against you. And no doubt David had a lot of them after his sin with Bathsheba. He's going to help you to stand, I'm saying, in the middle of all unrighteous oppositions against you. And then, secondly, God will shield you by sustaining your soul during times when you could be tempted to be afraid. It says in verse 4, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God. For You have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon Your people. So I want you to take notice of the fact that when you pray, when you cry to the Lord with your voice here, like David did, that the Lord's going to hear you. And He's going to answer you favorably. You say to me, well, God answered David favorably, but how can I know that He's going to answer me favorably? Well, the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So the real issue is whether you are sincerely trying to please the Lord. Verse 5 shows us that we ought to pray committing all of our concerns to the Lord, and then lie down and sleep. Now let me ask you this question. How many of you, when you've got things that are weighing down your mind and your heart, that you can't get to sleep? That you sit up and you worry and you fret about it, and you just can't get to sleep. Well, what David did here is a good example for you and I, and that is that when we have things that are weighing on our heart and our mind concerning ourselves, we're fretting about it, that we need to commit that to the Lord, and then we need to go to bed and sleep. Now, the Lord may wake us up in the middle of the night, and our mind may instruct us in the night by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we need to understand that if we commit everything to the Lord, we shall receive this kind of an answer from the Lord, where it says here, I lay down and slept, verse 5, I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Isn't that good? That is really good. Because you wake up in the morning after you committed everything to the Lord, and the Lord will be faithful to sustain you. You need to expect that. If He did this for David, He will do this for you. And so what I'm saying is here, David got up that next morning after he committed this to the Lord, and he said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Now you have to remember that there were probably 10,000s of people who had set themselves against him round about when he fled Jerusalem and the rebellion that Absalom brought. He was in great danger of his life and of losing his kingdom and of seeing many terrible things happen. But you know, after he had prayed and committed it to the Lord, it was such a great thing that he woke up in the morning and he knew that he could be strong in the Lord and the strength of His mighty power. He remembered the times when the Lord had smote all of His enemies on the cheekbone before. He says so in verse 7. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God. But he goes on to say, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. So he's using his past experience to fortify his heart, his past experience of God to fortify his heart in speaking to his heart, saying, oh Lord, I know that you will help me in this situation. And you and I need to do the same kind of thing. In whatever difficult situations that we face, when we fear people around us, and especially when they think that we have no help for us in God. Well, we do. No matter what terrible sins we've committed or done, if we truly know the Lord, and we've confessed those sins, and we want to do what the Lord would have us to do, we need to expect that God will act on our behalf, because salvation belongs to the Lord, and His blessing will be upon His people. So David knew that if he had to face all these 10,000s of people, that he could. That he could do it. And, of course, he had others that were with him, that were standing behind him, even though that they knew that he had sinned in this manner. But they knew he loved the Lord, and they knew that he was a man after God's own heart, and so they stuck with him through all these trials that he went through with Absalom. And the Lord did answer his prayers, and Absalom's schemes and Ahithophel's schemes were defeated. All of his enemies were struck on the cheekbone. The teeth of their plans were broken. And David was delivered. So we see here that for God's people, salvation belongs to the Lord. That is, all of your help in difficult trials that come to you because perhaps you've not done something correctly or right. But yet the Lord knows that, and the Lord is the one who's watching over you continually. And His blessing is and will be upon His people. And we need to rejoice tonight that that is the case. We can do that. We can rejoice and see the Lord as our shield, that He will sustain our soul during times when we are tempted to be afraid. Well, that's our study for tonight. Do you have any questions or any thoughts you want to bring up or talk about? Well, I'm very glad to be able to spend this short time with you.